If you got your Bible, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 84. Psalm number 84 this morning. Appreciate those songs. Appreciate the Sunday school this morning. Amen. Appreciate the men's prayer meeting yesterday. It was a good prayer meeting. We had a good time. And thank the Lord for those that showed up. We had a good crowd. It could be better. I'll just be honest with you. It could be better. There could be more here, but I appreciate those that came and appreciate the opportunity we had to pray and meet the Lord at the throne of grace. Amen. Always a blessing. Amen. Good to have Brother Shelby and Miss Louise back with us. Amen. I'm going to have to start giving them a visitor's card as well, but I'm glad they're here. If any of you don't know who I'm talking about, it's this couple over here right behind Brother Philip. All right. I'm glad they're getting better. Amen. And pray just keep getting better. Amen. Lord, touch them. All right. Psalm chapter number 84. And I want to read every bit of it. All right. Let's read the whole thing. Psalm number 84. And I'm going to focus primarily on a couple of verses, well, some verses, all right, but we'll look at it with us. Let's read it responsibly. The Bible says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They shall be still praising thee." I'm sorry, they will be still praising thee. Selah. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Philip, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Philip, for that prayer. Amen. Well, there's some words here that we don't use a lot. For example, the word Selah. I never use it except for when I'm reading the Bible. But it means, the idea of it there, they say, of course, it's transliterated from the Hebrew, and it means the idea is stop and think on this. Pause. The Psalms are songs. There's a pause here, and the pause is to give reflection, to think on what's being said. And so you notice that's found twice in the scripture at the end of verse 4. And I believe what he's saying to think on is not just 4, but I believe he said think on what's been said these 4 verses, verses 1 through 4. Then it said again in verse number 8. And again, that's not just to think on what has just been said, although that is appropriate, but also all that has been said thus far. But there's the word in verse number 1, the second word, "How amiable are thy tabernacles." Did anybody get a Valentine's Day card this week that said, "How amiable you are"? We don't use that word very much. But it means worthy of love is what it means. Lovely or worthy of love. And we'll look at some of that. I want to preach this morning on the loveliness of God's house. The loveliness of God's house. I'm not just talking about the beauty physical, although I think God's house ought to be beautiful. Amen. I think we ought to do our best to make it as conducive to worship as we can, as pleasing to the eye as we can.
amen, as convenient and all those things as we can for the glory of God. Amen. That's one reason. By the way, you say, preacher, if you're really interested in comfort, why don't you have recliners? Because we got people that'll sleep in straight chairs. We don't need recliners. And encouraging you to go to sleep. It's not just for comfort in that way. It's for comfort that you can come and receive, but be attentive, right? It's about attentiveness in the house of God also as well. So I'm dealing with this, the loveliness, particularly verses 1 through 4 and then verse number 10. Let's look at verse 10 together and then I'll give you my points. I've got four main points this morning and I'll try my best not to be too long, but as timely as God would let me be. Verse number 10, the Bible says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And there's a period there, but you know that thought runs on. A thousand what? One day in the house of God is better than a thousand days anywhere else. That's what he's saying. I'd rather be in the house of God one day than to be somewhere else for a thousand days. Verse number 10, latter part, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The idea of a doorkeeper is that he doesn't get to dwell there. He's just there to stay at the door. He's just barely in. He said, I'd rather barely be in the house of God than to be dwelling, just fitting in with the worldly crowd. Amen. He's talking about the loveliness of the house of God. All right, look at verses 1 through 4. We'll read those again, and then I'll give you my introduction to getting my message. How amiable, lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. What's he fainting for? The courts of the Lord. What's he talking about? The house, not just God. People say, well, I don't worship the house, I worship God. I understand that. But if you worship God, you'll have some honor to his house. Amen. You knock on doors, oh, preacher, I love Jesus. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't. We just had Valentine's Day. If you didn't tell her you love her again, don't you think she would wonder if you love her? Amen. If you don't ever go home, you think she's going to think you love her? Or turn it around. If you don't ever go home, you think he's going to believe you love him? No. The whole process of loving him, I'm talking about Jesus, is we also love his house. We love together with his people. Amen. Let me go back there. I'm looking at my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Amen. Flesh even. He said, I'm so consumed. I long to be with God. I want my flesh. I don't just want to be there in spirit. Amen. Brother Miles has got a meeting scheduled in March. Again, he did this last year to raise money for the Beams, to raise money for Bibles. And I'm scheduled to preach for Brother Beverly that same night again. That exact same thing happened last year. I was planning to go to Brother Miles's. Brother Beverly called, asked me if I'd come. And I'm not fussing about it. I'm glad God opened the door for me to go somewhere and preach. I'd rather preach than go sit in a service and, you know, and hear somebody else preach and raise money. But I wanted to be a part of it. So I told Brother Miles, I said, it's happened again, Brother Miles. I'm scheduled. I'm sorry I can't be there. And I said, but I'll be there in spirit. You know how everybody says that. Brother Miles said, he said, my pastor says, a body without a spirit is a corpse. And a spirit without a body is a ghost. He said, I don't want your body here if your spirit ain't, and I don't want your spirit here if your body ain't. I don't want corpses and ghosts. Amen. My flesh, my heart and my flesh crieth out, I got it now, for the living God. Verse 3, see, or yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Now, having said all, this psalm is a psalm about the tabernacle. He's not talking about a temple. The temple hadn't been built. The psalmist David, I believe, wrote this. He wrote it to the sons of Korah. You see that in the heading of it. It doesn't say a Psalm of David, but it's to the sons of Korah. And we would assume that that's it. It is alluded to him. And I believe it's right. You can see his personality in it. To the chief musician upon Githom, a psalm for the sons of Korah. So it's a psalm about the tabernacle. It's believed that this psalm was written while David was fleeing from Absalom, his son. Absalom had arisen and he had rebelled against his father. He tried to win the hearts of the people, and he did that. And he tried to raise a rebellion. He tried to kill his dad. David had to flee for his life, and while he's fleeing, he can't go to church. And David is mourning and grieving over the fact that he can't go to church. He ain't complaining about Absalom. He's complaining about absence. He had a good excuse not to be at church. But he said, that don't excuse me. I want to be there. Amen. I long to be there. So he's fleeing from his son Absalom. This psalm, if that's the case, I believe it is, it reveals to us much about the heart of David. He was a man that loved the house of God. Amen. He's fleeing for his life, and yet he longed to be at the house of God. By the way, more than he longed to be back on the throne. I don't remember who was the writer I read some years ago made mention of that, and buddy, that smote me. David more mourned his absence from the house of God than he mourned his absence from the throne of Israel. To David, there was no place on earth more special than the house of God. A place where God, the Lord, had chosen to put his name there. Amen. A place where God had chosen to demonstrate his presence there. You know, David had such a desire for that he wanted God to have a permanent house. He wanted a temple built, not just a tabernacle, a temple. And he wanted it to be an extravagant, wonderful building that would be built. And he prepared for that building. Now, I want to think about this. Let me say this. I know that God's in heaven, and the house of God is not just a building like this. He houses in us, right? I understand that. This is the tabernacle that we carry around now. We're going to lay this tabernacle or tent down one of these days. Amen. But there's still an understanding, and we recognize it, that I believe the visible symbol of the house of God is the church building, the place where saints come together to worship the Lord. This building's not for all kinds of other things. We may have an event. We may have a wedding. But by the way, in a wedding, shouldn't you be worshiping God in a wedding? We may have funerals, but surely we ought to be worshiping God at a funeral. Amen. And by the way, and I'll plug this. If you ain't interested in worshiping God at your wedding, go to the courthouse. Let them settle it. Don't drag God or his name or his house into it if you're not interested in worshiping God at a wedding. Amen. And if you're going to worship God, don't dress like a hooker. All right. That's free. It's not in my notes. It's free. Probably over here on the side margin. Here's what I noticed. I'm giving an introduction now. This is the place dedicated for the worship of God. You can worship God at home. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God in a tree stand. You can worship God out on a boat. I hear all these. You can worship. I know you can. Most people think you're watching the football. They think you're watching for a deer. They think you're waiting for something to get hooked on the line instead of worshiping God when you're in those places rather than in the house of God. Amen. So there's just something special. That's what this psalm reminds us. There's just something special about this house. I preached from this psalm back in 2016 here, not this particular message, but similar, same thoughts to some degree, but about how precious the house of God is. I don't remember what I titled it then, to be honest about it. But look at this. There's four main points I want to give you that this the house of God inspires in us, something special about this place. All right. First of all, it inspires a sense of delight. He mentions that idea in verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. He describes the house of God as amiable. It means he delights in it. He finds it lovely. He doesn't find it a drudgery to go to church. He finds it a delight to go to the house of God. Amen. We've all heard this. Don't ever get in the habit of saying, well, we got to go to church. No, you don't got to. You get to. It ought to be a privilege to go to the house of God. And one of these days we may not have that privilege. Brother Brunson asked me yesterday to pray for his pastor. He's 90 years old. He's in a hospital bed in their house, curled up in a fetal position on morphine, just waiting to die. You know, he'd want to be in the house of God if he could. He gave his life to the house of God. He'd want to be in the house of God if he could. So it inspires a sense of delight. God's people ought to love the church. Amen. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Therefore, we ought to love the church as well. Here's two good ways, just by way of sideline, two good ways to show your delight in the house of God. Number one, be present. Be there. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. You know what he said? You ought to go to church more, not less. Let me say that again and give y'all another chance to say amen. Because you missed a good chance. Not me. You're amen in the truth. Are you following me? Jesus said that he loved the church and gave himself for it. He said in Hebrews 10, he said we ought to go to church more, not less, as we see that day approaching. That's right. Amen. Well, preacher, I can't find a good day. Some people say that all the time. I mentioned Wednesday night. A man made the statement earlier this week that he had spoke to a woman and she was in public, praising God in public, shouting in public, singing in public. He asked her where she went to church. She said, I don't. She said, I don't know where to go. Well, how about trying somewhere? Yeah. Amen. How about trying somewhere? I mean, you might not know where to go for groceries, but if you try enough hardware stores, eventually somebody will tell you where the grocery store is. If you go, amen, you go somewhere, you might say, well, this ain't it. I have to try somewhere else. But you can find the house of God if you want to. Be present. Number two, be pleasant. One thing to show up, it's another thing to show up and be happy that you're there instead of mad at the world. Amen. This is a pet peeve of mine. I see these signs at these stores that say, now hiring smiling faces, and I think it is about time. I thought about getting some of those signs and setting them up in our parking lot. Amen. Come to the church, well, to come with a smile on our face. I know, listen, the whole world might not be good, the whole world might be bad, but we come to worship God, that's good. We're able to come worship God. That's good. We got the liberties and the freedoms to worship God. That's good. We don't have to put up soundproofing on the walls like Brother Patton and them did in China. We don't have to hide from the authorities and zigzag our way to church like people do in other places that go more faithful than some of us do. And we got the liberties and we got the abilities. Let's show up and be present. All right, I didn't mean to go off on that. All right. Here's what I wrote in my notes. When we come to church, we ought not come grumpy and grouchy, but glad. We ought not come to find fault. We ought to come to find forgiveness and favor and fellowship. Amen. There's a lot of reasons why I love the church. A few of them are that there at church I find hope and help and fellowship and friendship and companionship and understanding and worship at the house of God. Amen. I find the things that I need for my journey through life down at the house of God. I believe parents that go to church are better parents than those that don't. Amen. I believe children that go to church are better children than those that don't. Amen. It inspires a sense of delight. Let me say secondly. Let me back and get this. I heard Brother Ronnie Simpson almost 40 years ago make this statement. He said, this is what I believe. He said, when they turn the lights on at the house of God. You ought to turn your lights off at the house and go to the house of God. He said, when they unlock the doors at the house of God, you ought to lock your doors and go to the house of God. That's pretty good, ain't it? Yeah. Amen. He went to preach a revival somewhere, and he asked them, and he said, how many of you believe that the devil is going to be here every night? And he said, every person raise their hand. He said, all right, if you're not here, you just admitted you're sorrier than the devil. Sort of a catch 22. But you know what? He's making a point. He's making a point. That is, the house of God ought to be important to us. Well, preacher, I'll try to come if nothing else don't come up. Well, we'll do it. You know, we'll try. If my schedule's just not too full, we'll make plans to come. All right. All right. Well, let me get off of that. Verse number two. Let me give you a second thing here. It not only inspires a sense of delight, it inspires a sense of desire. Verse 2 and verse 10 talk about that. My soul longeth, that's a desire, yea, even fainteth. Boy, that is a real intense desire. For the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. That's a desire. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We see that David, his entire being longed to be in the house of God. His soul, his body, and his heart wanted to be in that place of worship. Here's what I believe. I believe David had remembered something that a lot of saints have forgotten. And that's how precious it is to be in the house of God. What an opportunity it is to gather in the house of God. Amen. David's fleeing for his life. Maybe he's thinking about, boy, I wish there's a safe place. And he gets to thinking, where's the safest place? The house of God. Amen. Now, I know people break in and steal. People break in and kill. But houses of God. Yeah. There's all kinds of things that happen. And everybody at the house of God's not always there for all the good purpose. I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can make up your mind. You're not going to be one of them that's not there, and you're not going to be one of them that is there, but with the wrong purpose. Right. Amen. You can say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there, and by the grace of God, I'm going to be there on purpose and for the right purpose. Amen. A sense of desire. I imagine that David, you know, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. David's eyes brightened up. Amen. David's pulse quickened up when he thought about going to the house of God. That's the way it ought to be for me and you. Amen. Now, I ain't just preaching this because we got meeting this week, but it's a good time. It's timely. We got a meeting this week. We've been planning. I said we planned it since May of last year. Matter of fact, we knew it last February because every February we have Bible conference. We backed it up a week in order to fit schedule of these men, even some of these men that ain't coming. That's the way preachers are. But anyway, yeah. Preachers said, you know, with our preachers' fellowships on Monday, they said, if you had it on Saturday, we'd come. And for a year, they had it on Saturday, and they didn't come. So we went back to Monday. Right. So you got to schedule something, and let's make God in part of our schedule. Matter of fact, why shouldn't we put him first in our schedule? Amen. All right. Well, let me say this one. I don't mean to get on this, but this is just right. I remember hearing a preacher some years ago. He said he was getting ready to have revival. He was a pastor. And he said a lady came to him and she said, preacher, I know we got revival this week, but my kids got school. And so, you know, if we can, we'll try to make it. We'll do our best to make it at least one night because, you know, kids got school. He said, which is more important, school or church? He said, how about going to the principal and saying, hey, I know we got school this week, but we got revival. And we'll do our best to be at school at least one day this week if it don't cut into our revival. You know why that's so strange? Because we're not used to putting God first. We're used to putting self first. Amen. And you know me, I think you do, those of you that do know me, I'm not for no educating children. You only got one chance, teach them while you can. Amen. Amen. But I'm also not for putting things ahead of God. All right, anyway, that's enough. Here's what David said as a young man, Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. Amen. In his early life, David said, there's one thing's my goal. Then when David was about to die in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 3, the first part of that verse, here's what David said. Moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God. And he goes to talk about the things that he set aside for the building of the temple. When he's young, he said, I made up my mind God's going to be important to me. When he's old, he said, because of that, I've made some plans and some arrangements. Amen. The whole idea from David's experience is that a man who loves the house of God will long to be there. Amen. Amen. So too many today see church as a, you know, possibility, maybe, perhaps. Right. It's not that their heart and soul longs to be there. Can I tell you what you desire says a whole lot about the condition of your soul? Amen. Amen. I won't chase that rabbit, but there's a whole lot there I could say. Well, I don't want to be like Thomas. You remember Thomas and Matthew? Matthew's gospel, they met and Jesus showed up, and the Bible specifically says, and Thomas was not there. Thomas was missing. Now, why did he say that? Because he wanted us to know God notices when we're missing. Because he wanted us to notice that when we miss something. Oh, preacher, I'll catch the tape later. It ain't the same. I listen in over the radio. Thank God we can, but that's still not the same. Well, I'll catch something on YouTube, or it's still not the same. Amen. Can I plug one more thing in metal? I've got my spoon right here. They made me this spoon. Brother Shepherd's pot stirrer. It means I can stir in it if I want to. Amen. That's a blessing. I didn't know I got that privilege when I became pastor. So I just took it on myself, and then they gave me the privilege. Amen. But here's what we'll say. This whole idea about if church is important or not. What really is important in this world? What really is important? Is it important that, you know, I mean, I know we got to make money. I understand you got to work. And I'm not fussing at you if your work won't allow you to be here all the services. Because, by the way, that's why we have multiple services. So possibly you can hit one of them. Amen. But the main thing I'm driving at is the people that they'll make it such a major thing to put work first, but not the Lord first. Amen. And they think, well, nobody will care if I'm missing. God put it in his book when one was missing. I think he pays attention. So there's a sense of desire. There's a sense of delight. Number three, there's a sense of devotion. Verses 3 and 4. Boy, this goes in there even deeper. And I didn't meddle as bad as I thought I was going to meddle right there. I left something go. But let's look at verses 3 and 4. Yea, the sparrows have found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. So when David thought about the house of God, he thought about how far away he was from the house of God and how his soul longed to be there. He reflected on the fact that even little birds can go to the house of God. Now, we don't build bird houses on our eaves, but that don't stop them from sitting and maybe even roosting on the downspout every now and then. Coming and sitting on the posts that we've got set up at the doors. They'll sit there. But in their day, the tabernacle was not as enclosed as a building would be. And birds might fly in there and actually make their house in there. And David is recognizing that had taken place. And so he's thinking about, he said, I can't be in the house of God, but I remember these little birds that are there that were really not necessarily welcome. They were a nuisance, and yet they found a place at the house of God. And here's what I imagine. There was a tinge, excuse me, maybe there was a tinge of jealousy in David's heart. I'm not welcome at the house of God now, but I want to be. That's what he was thinking in his heart. By the way, church discipline, when we have to put somebody out of our number, that is not just to shove them away and throw them away as trash. That's to make them long to get back in the number. That's what it's supposed to be about. And by the way, if they get right with God, they will. Right? If they go on and nothing ever happens, they don't get right with God. But if they get right with God, they'll come back. I believe that's right. So he mentions two birds. He mentions a sparrow and a swallow. Somebody said it this way, I read after. They said a sparrow is a worthless bird. It's not worth much. Jesus talked about two sparrows be sold for one farthing. Not worth much, a worthless bird. And a swallow is a wandering bird. Sparrows stay here year round. You'll see them even when the snow's out. See the sparrows out there trying to find something in the snow. Interesting, God blankets the world with snow, and God lets all that moisture go down in the ground, and worms start coming up to the top to get that moisture, and sparrows know about that. Yep, they don't have depth finders or fish finders. They got worm finders. They say, listen, scientists say, you ever looked at the ears on a bird? They ain't got big ears, but boy, can they hear? They say they can hear that worm moving in the ground. That they can hear that worm while they're way up in the air. And they can locate there's something going on down there. And so they'll come and they'll, but here's one thing. Those sparrows, they don't fly off. They stay around. But the swallow, they come and go and they fly off and they come back in the spring. So you got a worthless bird and a wandering bird, but both of them find a place in the house of God. Amen. Amen. They get exactly what they need. That's what David's saying at the house of God. Here, I wrote down some things about using these birds as the idea. Number one, it's a place for the unwanted. The sparrow is not worth much. Jesus said that. And yet there's people in our world today that feel unwanted. They feel like they're not worth much, or at least that man doesn't put much worth upon them. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Yeah, I think I can say this. I believe in standards and think we ought to have standards. But at the same time, people that don't, they don't even understand that. They don't know about that. They shouldn't be kept out and say, well, you're not welcome to come. They're welcome to come and sit and listen. But by the way, they're not welcome to come and protest. Say amen right there. They are not welcome to come and protest. They're welcome to come and participate in the worship and participate in hearing the word of God and get some help for their soul. Amen. They're not welcome to come and protest and proclaim their wickedness. Amen. Amen. They're not welcome to come and groom. Amen. We just found out Monday about a good, independent, King James Bible church here in Kentucky. Got a Christian school, and they just had to get rid of a teacher who was a deacon in the church but was grooming kids, by the way, and he's got grandkids. And they just had to dismiss him. You say, preacher, what in the world are we going to do? Well, I tell you what I'd do. I'd teach mine at home. That's what I'd do. I don't trust public school. And to be honest with you, thank God for Christian schools, but I don't trust all them. Amen. You say, who can you trust? You better be able to trust mama. Amen. You better be able to trust daddy. All right. Anyway, but my point is this. Everybody ain't always good, but they ought to be welcome to come and hear what's good. Amen. If they're not coming to cause trouble or to mess things up. All right? Are you following me? Amen. That don't mean that we just throw everything out and say, all right, then nobody. No, listen, those of us that do know better ought to do better. Amen. All right, that's free too. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Well, they say, well, that sparrow's not worth much. Jesus said, come on. He may seem he's worthless, may seem he's unwanted, but the sparrows can come in multitudes, even though they're uninvited guests. Amen. It's a place not only for the unwanted, it's a place of permanent dwelling. He said the sparrows found a house. That's a place to stay. Amen. Not only a place of sustenance that they can get what they need, but a place of residence. They can stay there at the house of God. Amen. When we go knock doors, somebody says they go to church, we don't try to try to pull them away from the church they're attending. Amen. Now, I do have one little caveat to that. Brother Duncan came up with that. It's pretty good. I never thought of it until he came up with it. We knocked the door. The lady said, I go to a Catholic church. And we say, we're not here to try to strive, pull you away from your church. We're here to tell you about us if you want to come visit. And Brother Duncan said, he immediately thought when she said, I go to the Catholic church, he immediately thought, I'm sorry. But we're not there to offend them. We're there to do our best to invite them. Are you following me? I'm glad God invites people to come. You probably didn't have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted when you started coming. Matter of fact, a good chance you still don't have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. But thank God you can come find a place. Amen. Amen. Here's what Paul said about it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Come to the house of God. Ought to be a place that we can come and stay. See, it's not only a place that we can come for the unwanted, a place that's a permanent dwelling, but it's a place for the pilgrim. That swallow didn't find a house, but found a nest. That nest is not a permanent dwelling. Matter of fact, on the column at my house, our porch has got columns on it, and the way the ceiling of the porch is made, there's a ridge there around that column, and they'll build nests on that ridge. And you know what they'll do? They'll build that nest on that ridge, and if I don't get rid of them, they'll hatch out their young. And when they hatch out their young, then they'll fly off, and I won't see them again till the next year. And they'll come back, either the same two or their young will come back and build a nest, even though I've torn it down and tried to clean it up. They'll come back and build a nest in that spot. Here's my point. Don't the Bible say something about that if you'll raise up your child in the way they should go, that even though they're old and they may go way off somewhere, they'll not depart from it. There'll be something that'll be drawing them back. Amen. Here's what I want to say. I want the Island Ford Baptist Church to be a place where people can have a nest. Even if they don't stay here forever, they've got a place to come back to. Amen. I want us to have the right kind of a place. That nest is a place where they raise their young. I've touched that already. Amen. And he said that right in the verse. They raise their young there. She lays her young even on the altars. Amen. God help us to do that in the house of God. I put this note here. There's all kinds of birds, and I got a list of them, but this is not for this sermon, for another sermon. But when he talks about the swallow and the sparrow, those are little small birds. There's some birds that don't come to the house of God, like the eagle. He's too proud. He's too big. It's beneath him to go to the house of God. And so there's some people just won't. Then there's the vulture. I'll just mention these two. The eagle's too big and too proud. The vulture's too foul. Too vulgar. He don't care anything about life. He's interested in death. Amen. He loves dead things. But the sparrow and the swallow, they love to go to the house of God. They're lowly. They're little. They're not filled up with self. They're keenly aware of their needs. And by the way, if you need something, the house of God's a good place to come. Amen. Here's my last point. I said it inspires a sense of delight and a sense of desire and a sense of devotion. Last of all, it inspires a sense of duty. Verse 10, that last sentence, there's two sentences in verse 10. The last one, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The doorkeeper was a job to have. He said, I want to find what I'm looking for in the house of God. I want to find what I need in the house of God. But I want to do something. I want to do something for my God at the house of God. I got a duty, something that I want to do. The Bible says, I know, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, those famous verses that we like to quote about we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. Amen. But don't verse 10 say that we're created, we're His workmanship. Created what for? For good works. God wants us to do good works is what He's saying. Not works to be saved. That's not talking about that. He's talking about if once you're saved, God wants you to do something for the glory of God. Amen. That's a good lesson for the child of God. Amen. Church is a place where you can exercise your gift. When you got saved, God gave you a gift somewhere, some way. Amen. Book of Romans and the book of Corinthians talks about it. Now, I'm not talking about a gift of speaking in tongues and that. I'm not talking about some showy thing. But I'm talking about God gave you a gift. As a matter of fact, you probably got gifts that I don't have. You can probably reach people, do things that I can't do. Amen. And we can think of a million things, but, you know, just we look at today. I'm glad Miss Helen is willing to play the piano as our spare, if we say it that way. She's our spare tar, Brother Josh would say. Spar tar. Our spar tar. spare tire. No, she... Miss Elizabeth, she's supposed to follow her husband. If her husband goes somewhere to preach, she's supposed to follow him. Right? We had to take it up with him. He'd run off with our piano player. But she's supposed to do that. What does that mean? And by the way, I'm not against singing a cappella. I'm not too good for that. I'm not necessarily against singing with what they call canned music. Although once you start that, nobody will ever learn. And we want somebody to learn. We want people to participate. Amen now. We're not interested in AI. We're not interested in electronics. We're interested in people serving the Lord. Are you following me? Interested in people serving the Lord. How do you do that? By exercising your talents. Doing something for the glory of God. Amen. Thank God for people in the choir. Today we had extra room. A lot of times we don't. We had extra room in the choir. Thank God for people that are willing to use their talents to sing for God. And by the way, not just to sing, but to practice singing. Why? To do something to glorify God. To magnify His name. Amen. Now we're living in a day, we're living a different day than has been in the past. Today we got people that want to be in church, but not a part of the church. I believe David said, I want to be there, but I also want to be a part of it. I want to be a participant. And I know you can't be here. Some people cannot be here every service. I'm not fussing at you about that. But I would say check your schedule. See if there's not maybe something you could do about some of that. All right, but I'm not fussing at what you can't do, but I'm saying let's do what we can for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I got just a little bit of conclusion here. These are just some things that I found that I think makes the house of God special. It's a special place. It's a special place. I wonder if in the message God might have spoke to your heart about your relationship with Him and your relationship with His church. If the church doesn't hold an elevated place in your heart, where it deserves, by the way, I beg you to talk to God about it and ask Him to work on your heart, to plant love in your heart like it ought to be. Plant love in your heart. Heavenly Father, thank You for the word of the Lord that we've tried to preach. Thank You for Psalm 84, David's example to us. Lord, I pray help us that we might pick up on some of that. David didn't have the Holy Ghost like we have. He didn't have the same things like we have. He lived in a whole different dispensation, and yet he loved the house of God. If he did before Calvary, how much more we should since Calvary. Lord, help us too for Your glory and honor. Bless in this invitation time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.